Christian. Greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope what I'm about to share with you is a blessing to you and your loved ones, so let's get right to it. I've got a few articles I want to share this week and a couple of emails if I have time. The first article, headline reads, Bishop's Letter Condemns Research That Kills. This is coming out of Boston, Massachusetts, of course, on March 6th, 2005. A Zenit organization reporting. This is Zenit, by the way, is a Roman Catholic publication. You can get it online. The article goes on to say that four Massachusetts bishops signed a letter opposing human embryonic stem cell research, an issue being debated by the state's legislature. In the statement published in the Pilot, the newspaper of the Boston Archdiocese, the bishops proposed John Paul II as a profound moral witness of one who struggles with Parkinson's-like disabilities and yet continues to plead with scientists to pursue research only through ethical means. Some scientists contend that stem cell research on human embryos could lead to discovering cures and treatments for Parkinson's and other life-threatening illnesses. But embryonic stem cell research would violate the sanctity of life since it involves the destruction of embryos, the bishops observed. We join the, well, they're saying this, I'm not saying this is a blasphemous term, but they say we join the Holy Father's appeal to members of the biotechnology and scientific communities to turn away from research that is both unethical and unnecessary, the statement said. Science does not have to kill in order to cure. The bishops urged Catholics to voice their concerns regarding the bill by contacting their elected officials. Archbishop Sean O'Malley of Boston and Bishops George Coleman of Fall River, Timothy McDonald of Springfield, and Robert McCannis of Worcester signed the statement. Now, why is it the Roman Catholic Church deems it's necessary to wash its dirty laundry in the public eye so that all of us can look on again? Most Christian churches have private meetings when discussing or seeking to discuss doctrinal errors being taught or embraced by its members. And of course, this isn't a discussion on a doctrinal error. It's a discussion on an open and blunt murder and gaining financially by it. I mean, after all, it's the Roman Catholic Church we're dealing with here, so it's not always going to be doctrinal errors that they're going to discuss. And because they get into a lot of things that other churches just won't touch because they know it's evil. Their lot in the Vatican is one of Satanism and molestation as well as murder and mayhem. Still, why doesn't the Pope just call the Jesuits at Georgetown University to have them cease and desist from stem cell research on aborted children? Well, because the Pope has no control over the Jesuits. So this bishop thinks if he shows just how out of control this church is. And that's right, it's a church, a collection of men who claim to bow to Christ as Lord and Savior. This is what deems it a church. These men are supposedly supposed to be claiming to keep the law of their God religiously. However, you know, have you read Commandment number 6, you prelates of Rome, or you Jesuits at Georgetown University? It says plainly, thou shalt not kill. And you know, I've read the articles on the air before about how they say it's not a big thing now because the children were aborted so long ago, and so they're going to go ahead and continue on anyway. It's just, there's nothing that can be said about this. It's just plain disgust. But again, you're dealing with Rome here now, so this is the norm. Okay, this next article, I'm not even going to bother reading it. Now, the headline reads, Vatican Offers Exorcism Courses. Now, do you recall the article that I reported on a couple of weeks ago that had a headline that read, Vatican University Debuts Satanism Classes? Turns out, the article that I did share on the air that was, you know, that had that headline may have caused a bit of a stir and ruffled some feathers, or ruffled some truth out of the closet Rome wasn't hoping for. Now, I guess the people didn't like the idea that the Vatican is in fact teaching Satanism in its walls and then said so. So the Vatican released another article shortly thereafter with the headline that the Vatican offers exorcism courses to try and soften the blow of what's actually happening there. The article that was underneath the headline, Vatican Offers Exorcism Courses, is an exact duplicate of the article that said Vatican University debuts Satanism classes. It's just a bunch of excerpts from that article. They didn't change anything. So they're not going to stop the classes. They're just going to go on, continue lying as they always have. You know, truth is, people, lying is a major step in learning true Satanism. Hey, perhaps this is a lesson via Rome on how to be a Satanist. Who knows? I mean, they're teaching it, so there's got to be a reason for what they're doing. All right, this next article is a bit involved. It's going to take me a little bit to get through it. The headline reads, Rome Strikes Second Coming Deal with Jews. Okay, this came out from the Jewish Weekly on July 23rd, 2002. Now, a friend of the ministry, Rick from Canada, sent me this next article that I'm going to read to you. And I'm not going to read all of it because it's huge. I already have the article or a version of it on the site. In fact, it's been on there for a few years now. I may have even commented on it in a flightful way on the air a few times since then. Even though it's a few years old, Rick felt, and I agree, that some need to be made aware of what Rome and the Jews did this day. In 1967, now here's the article, it says, in 1967, during the early thaw of Catholic-Jewish relations, Rabbi Irving Yitz Greenberg, his nickname is Yitz Greenberg, addressed a Catholic audience about the conflicting Messiah beliefs. The Orthodox rabbi noted that one difference between Jews and Catholics is whether the Messiah is coming for the first or second time. Christians believe the Messiah, a Jew from Nazareth called Jesus, came 2,000 years ago, and after dying and being resurrected, will someday return to redeem the world. Jews say the Messiah has yet to arrive, a belief that led to centuries of Christian and anti-Semitism and killing of Jews who refused to accept the Christian view. Okay, first, let me stop here for a minute. There was never a true Christian follower of Jesus Christ that has ever been led to kill the Jews, or any person for that matter. Once someone claims Christ as Lord and is truly converted, they keep the law and know it is a sin to murder men. Commandment number 6 is plain. It's blunt. It says, thou shalt not kill. We must make one thing clear here. It was the Roman Catholic Church that started the anti-Semitism back in Constantine's day when they suggested a Sunday Sabbath as a way to separate themselves from the Jews. The hatred was that intense. And it was the Roman Catholic Vatican and Hitler that killed 6 million of the Jews in modern day. Yeah, I just thought I had to clear that up for a moment here. Christians don't kill people. Catholic prelates kill people. So when they say that Christian anti-Semitism and killing of Jews was generated by, you know, to accept the Christian view, no. Catholic Church killed the Jews. Okay? It wasn't the Christians. See, this is one of the reasons they have a problem. Some other religions have a problem with Christians because they think everybody's a Catholic. And what the Catholic history has to offer is not a pretty sight. But anyway, continuing with the article, it says, Rabbi Greenberg suggested the dispute be tabled until the Messiah arrives. When the Messiah comes, Jews and Christians can ask him if this is the first coming or his second, finally putting the issue to rest. Okay, let me stop here for a moment. I mean, are they joking here? According to the Bible, when Jesus gets here, he will not be sitting at a table answering questions, especially of those that claim he isn't Messiah, and especially of those that have admitted to killing 500 million of his followers. In fact, he won't even be touching the earth that day. The word says anyone not claiming him as Lord will be left on the earth that day, and they most assuredly won't be able to survive his arrival. So how is it they think they can suggest a round table discussion with our Lord and Savior? Are they suggesting a rewrite of the Bible so as to clear the air regarding their differences? My Bible says the best way to find the truth is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The other toss of the coin is this. The Jewish Church and the Vatican are both proclaiming, let's table this doctrinal disagreement until we can speak with the Lord himself on it. So in essence, all those Catholics and Jews out there wanting to know the truth regarding this issue, your leaders have agreed this is a doctrine that will never never going to discuss until the end of the world. So just don't die until then. By the way, if in fact Jesus was to allow them to ask that question or any question, what do you suppose he would say? Luke 24:25 says, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken? They should believe. They're slow of heart. They should believe what the prophets have spoken in the first place. I mean, we got the Bible. Read it. Luke 16, verse 31 says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So Jesus is going to answer them with Scripture, if in fact he was going to answer. In fact, he already has answered them. That's the reason for the Scriptures. You have a question, and if it's of eternal consequence, it's in Scripture. The answer is where you will find it. Okay, continuing on with the article, it says, but this week the Messiah debate suddenly took center stage in the Jewish-Catholic relations in an appropriately bizarre and mysterious manner. It follows the revelation last week that the Vatican's top biblical scholars recently issued a report that for the first time in nearly 2,000 years apparently validates the Jewish wait for the Messiah. Okay, there you have it. More fuel for the fire. The Vatican is always ready and willing to lend to confusion. Now, all those Jewish people out there that were investigating Jesus are going to back off now. Why bother? Because it's valid what the Jews are doing. You know, any kind of Christian influence that these people had in their lives to get them to open up a Bible have now been struck down because the Vatican says, look, don't bother with it. Your leaders are valid in believing Messiah is coming the first time. More fuel for the fire of confusion. It's all. That's the reason for the title Babylon. That word Babylon means to mix truth with error. Okay, continuing on with the article, it says a 210-page document titled The Jewish People and the Holy Scriptures in the Christian Bible by the Pontifical Biblical Commission and authorized by the Vatican's top theologian, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, reportedly states that the Jewish messianic wait is not in vain. It reportedly says Jews and Christians share their wait for the Messiah, although Jews are waiting for the first coming and Christians for the second. Okay, now, no. No, that's not what's happening, Cardinal Francis Arins. The Messiah that the Jews await is Antichrist. Why? Well, because the real Messiah has already arrived. Your Bible says so. It happened 2,000 years ago. Okay? Rome needs to keep the confusion going so as to assure both Jews and Christians will embrace Satan as Lord when he arrives on the planet and says, hi, I'm Jesus Christ incarnate. I wouldn't even put it past him to go ahead and act like he's resurrecting Paul or Peter or John or James or any of them and say, hey, look, all you folks out there, you thought the Scriptures were saying this? No, let me say it says this instead. And they can easily twist the Scriptures. We're talking about superhuman or supernatural beings here, fallen angels. They're angels still. I mean, keep in mind, people, Satan is the most powerful angel ever created. He was the first and most powerful and most beautiful ever created. And he is the angel of music. This is one of the reasons your music is all messed up today with the rock and roll and all this stuff. That's his ministry. That's how he gets to your children. That's one of the major ways that he gets. Okay, continuing on, the article says, the new document also reportedly contains an apology to the Jewish people for the anti-Semitic passages contained in the New Testament, and also stresses the continuing importance of the Torah for Christians. Okay, let's stop here again. Do you recall back in January of 1995 when Pope John Paul II apologized to the Buddhists? If you don't, here's a quick excerpt from that article. This came out of the Daily Southtown Economist, January 22, 1995, on page A11. This is a newspaper in the Chicago area. It's a south suburbs. Well, it goes on both north and south. They got a north town and south town, west town, east town. It's a big paper in the Chicago area. It says this. Well, the headline reads, Pontiff Praises Buddhism. Goes on to say, declaring he had come as a friend from Rome, an exhausted Pope John Paul II offered a message of religious harmony. Okay, this is when the ecumenical charge was beginning. Buddhist leaders have threatened to disrupt the visit unless the Pope apologized for passages. You know, passages in the Bible? That they view as critical of their religious doctrine of salvation. As he did before leaving Rome, January 11th, Paul issued conciliatory remarks. Okay, by the way, I cover that article and many other end time facts in my book, People Get Ready, on the website. It's in the free books section, if you want it. That's at remnantofgod.org. Now, Is this scary or what? I mean, does this not give one the idea that if someone gets in your face about your God, you should drop to your knees and beg their forgiveness and tell them their God is okay too, and we're so sorry he wrote a Bible? The Pope praises Buddhism, apologizes for our God because his infinite wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, he has decided to pen truth in the Bible, and seeing how that offends the wicked, the Pope apologizes. I don't mean to be sarcastic, but when a man who's supposed to be an ambassador for Christ is confronted on issues of faith, he should stand firm in Jesus. What kind of picture is being placed in the heads of all those young Catholics out there that want to share Jesus with their Buddhist or Jewish neighbors? Their leader is now telling the Buddhist religious leaders, as well as the Jewish people, that everything is just plain copacetic with God and their idea of worshiping another God made out of stone and wood, or denying his only begotten Son, as the Jews do. This is what's happening here. The Pope is the leader of the worldwide Catholic Church. No, strike that. He is the leader of the one world church, no less. As of June 26th, year 2000, many Protestant denominations are joining, or had joined him already. Soon all of them will. He doesn't try to share Jesus with the Buddhist monks or the Jewish leaders. Instead, he wants to join hands with them and sing Kumbaya. Is it not written, "Be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity," in 1 Timothy 4:12? How can the Pope claim that praising and condoning the idol-worshipping leaders of Buddhism or the Christ-denying Jewish people as being righteous acts of godliness, instead of setting a good example or exposing their misgivings or even trying to share Jesus with them, he apologizes for the word of God that offended them? That's insane. The article says that goes on to say that the book comes to light as anti-Semitism appears to be increasing around the world from Christian and Muslim sources. Okay, well, common sense, people. Let me stop here again. Did not the Jewish people state plainly in Matthew chapter 27, verse 25, to let his blood be on us and on our children? And when it is done, just that they get angry because of it? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not making anti-Semitic statements here. It's historic fact that they crucified Christ. And I don't hold that against them in any way, shape, or form. For the prophecy had to be fulfilled, and Christ must needs die for us before we gain salvation anyway. But how can the Bible be considered a book filled with anti-Semitism when it's just sharing historic facts? Why apologize for something that's true? I mean, the Jews know the history. They know what happened. They know what they did. And again, I'm not holding it against them. This is something, it's just like what the governments of the world are doing now. You can't stop them. It's going to happen. Okay, continuing, the article says, for example, the Associated Press reported this week that Russian prosecutors are investigating an anti-Semitic Russian Orthodox Church priest by the name of Sergei Nilis, who allegedly openly calls Jews the Antichrist and enemies of Christianity. But despite the potential significance of the new Vatican document, it was seemingly buried upon publication, quietly placed in bookstores in Rome last November. There was no press conference or public announcement, unlike many other important Vatican documents, such as the 1999 We Remember Holocaust Report. In fact, the world was unaware of the new Messiah doctrine, you know, that this article's talking about, until last Friday, when the New York Times published a story about it based on a report, a short report 2 days earlier by the Italian news agency, which is ANSA. Everything in the report is now considered part of official official church doctrine, Vatican spokesman Joachim Navarro Valls acknowledged after it became public. Despite its potential significance, the document still was unavailable in English this week, being translated only in Italian, French, and Polish. Further, the Vatican did not post it on its website in any language. Okay, let's stop. Where's the need, I say? I mean, the press is far more apt to get before the eyes of billions than even the Vatican website. I'm sorry. But what I see here is the reporter's weak attempt at trying to make it all seem like it was to be treated as no big deal. This reporter is no doubt on the Vatican payroll. Why else would he speak in such positive tones for them? Honestly, how many people, how many believe a story such as this wasn't meant to go public? Strange thing is, the reporter is Jewish. Did you catch the name of the... let me see if I can scroll up here and get the name of the reporter here that wrote this article that I'm commenting on. Eric J. Greenberg, staff writer for the Jewish Weekly. Okay? So, anyway, continuing, the article says, for the time being, the document will not be available on the Internet, the Pontifical Biblical Commission told One American Rabbi Monday, adding, an English translation will be available in days. That left American Jewish and Catholic interfaith leaders scrambling this week for any information. Initial speculation generally was positive, even as the interfaith leaders stressed that they were speaking without having seen the text. They also all questioned the strange behavior of the Vatican in failing to publicize such a significant document. The way it was released is extremely strange, said some priest named John Palakowski, director of the Catholic Jewish Studies program at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. Normally, he says, they launch these things with fanfare and press conferences. Also, the lack of an authorized English translation is particularly disturbing. No, I don't think so. It's common knowledge. The English-speaking Christian has a tendency to be a bit vocal. Even in these last days, with the grand majority of lazy Christians, a document such as this is bound to raise some eyebrows and get some shouting going on. So, to save embarrassment, especially in a country like the United States of America that has an ability to make statements that can go on a global rampage just as quickly as the Vatican does. So, it's a no-brainer here. They're not going to put it out in English right off the bat because they got to keep some of the stuff underneath the carpet for a while here. Okay, the article goes on to say, it's very strange, said Michael Signer, professor of Jewish thought and culture of the University of Notre Dame. This is not the most salutary way this could have been done. In Rome, Vatican officials denied they tried to hide the document, fearing criticism from right-wing Catholics who opposed theological change. Okay, stopping here. This coming from the church that prides itself as the church that never changes. And by the way, has the Vatican ever been caught lying before? Okay, for the sake of time, I'm not going to list the hundreds of documented cases I have online on my site alone that expose that fact. Suffice it to say, have they ever lied about child molestation? Okay, so we know they're liars. Continuing. The article says there was no intention to hide it, said a Vatican spokesman, the so-called Reverend Ciro Benedetti. In the United States, Eugene Fisher, ecumenical director for the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, blamed the Vatican leadership that it is understaffed and clueless about what is important to the world interest. Well, hold on a second. Are you kidding me? The Vatican understaffed and clueless about world interest? Is this the same Vatican that Malachi Martin describes in his book, The Keys of His Blood, as the one world entity that the Pope is completely aware on Saturday what will happen anywhere in the world on Monday? Is this the same Vatican that has 174 of the 192 nations of the world in 100% agreement with it? Is this the same Vatican that houses the Roman International Criminal Court that all nations must answer to? Is this the same Vatican that created the one world currency we see growing in popularity in Europe? Is this the same Vatican that has all those politicians, heads of state, and even kings must bow before the Pope and kiss his ring? Again, they lie in the newspapers, irregardless if there is a great deal of evidence that speaks to the contrary. They rely on the gullibility of those they already control. Okay? I mean, it's just, I'm going to have to continue on with this article after the break. I'm just about done with it. There's not a lot of it left in, so we're going to have to pick this up again after the break. So please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast. We've got a lot more to share. I got a couple of emails that I am going to try to get to as well. So please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast. Be back in a few minutes.